and Brit. Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
All right, it is the Brad and Brit cast, our third one for this week. We are glad you are with us, and we're very, very, very lucky to have with us live from 42,000 miles beneath the surface of the earth.
Yes.
In his extremely, extremely luxurious mansion in hell.
Yes.
It's Little Rush. Little Rush joining us.
Ensconced in the Attila the Hun chair in hell, it is I, Little Rush, Little EIB Network, delighted to be with you for another day of broadcast excellence, folks. We are seeing the left, folks, we are seeing the left absolutely just beside themselves. Do not fool yourselves. What happened in Boulder, Colorado, they loved. The left, absolutely, they love to think, this is the fiction that they peddle to you folks, is that there's a gun out there that can be, at any moment in time, gunning down your children, and they want you to have that fear, that absolute terrifying fear that Big Daddy Joe, crazy Uncle Joe, the Alzheimer's patient, needs to come in to save us. Who saved us from the crazy gunman? Meanwhile, as we know, the real problem here in America is that an immigrant is going to cross over the border. Some 10-year-old is coming into your neighborhood to rape your daughter. Do not doubt me on this, folks. This is the real fear in America.
That's the problem. That's what we should be concerned about, Little Rush.
As we know from the Heritage Foundation, I have the study in the stack of stuff. It is 10 times more likely for you to be killed by a 9-year-old immigrant in your neighborhood than it is for a gunman in your supermarket. That is the absolute fact of it. That is from the Heritage Foundation.
They asked which one is more likely. That's how they
absolutely. There's the guy who has marched 1,000 miles to the border to work for $6 an hour is much more likely to murder you in your sleep than it is for you to go to church and be killed by a gunman. Absolutely. This is the fact. From the Heritage Foundation, folks.
Let me ask you a kind of a procedural question. You know,
yes.
You're a government machinery genius. You know how all things work. You know where the bodies are buried. You know how
the average
person doesn't quite understand what the word filibuster means.
Yes.
Can you explain it? And whether you believe that its time is long past due to be eliminated, or whether you think it is the bulwark of democracy allowing, well, let's just say, Republicans to enforce their will on the country, no matter how few seats, no matter how many Senate positions they occupy. Go ahead, because I know you've studied this a lot.
And this is unusual because we have a group of people in the Democrat Party, folks, who supposedly are all for women's rights. They love women's rights and the advancement of women and blah, 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 blah. Anyone who has ever been in a marriage has been filibustered by a woman. Anyone. You come in the door, all you want to do is have a scotch, sit down, and just chill out for a while. But no, it's blah, 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 and it keeps you from doing anything like having the sex with your wife.
Let me see if I can expand on that a little.
Yes,
because
yes.
You may be mining some gold there, because I think that the average married male in this country probably would agree with you. And you're an expert on marriage. How many times were you married? Four times? I can't remember anymore. Do you remember their names?
I remember Marta, because I had to write a big-ass check that bitch. And then... was it one of them, Ann or something, and then the last one, I can't remember. She's the one that's like 46 or 44.
Catherine? Yeah, she's got the house.
Got the house, and I made her into a bazillionaire, and she's 44, and she's probably banging every golf pro in South Florida right now without a mask on. And I support this, folks. I support
it. So the point is that the average male thinks that no matter what the subject is, when there's an argument, it doesn't matter how much evidence you have on your side. It doesn't matter how right you are. kind of like the Democrats and liberals with guns. Every time there's a mass shooting, it doesn't matter what happened.
Yes.
The rule of the day will be, we're not going to do a damn thing. We're right. Fuck you. And that's really how women win every argument, right?
That's correct.
It doesn't matter where the facts are.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's, you know, that's why the Democrat Party, folks, has turned essentially into a female party. And they have a period every 30 days. So they're trying to get rid of the filibuster, which has done so much for women for millions of years. I mean, that is all that women's history has. And it's Women's History Month here in hell, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. Women's History Month. And now the Democrat Party, we didn't want to be talking on and on and on for hours. All you do, women, is talk for on and on and on for hours and hours and hours. That's all you ever do. And you want to get rid of that.
Is this Women's History Month? Is it White Women's History Month? Is it Black Women's History Month? Or, for some reason, is Women's History Month colorblind? Because, again, on race relations, nobody is more in tune with America than you are.
It's Liberal Women's History Month. I'm glad you brought this up. You're never going to hear about the contributions of, let's say, a Sarah Palin or a Maggie Thatcher or anybody of that sort. You're not going to celebrate a Lauren Boebert, who, by the way, is a babe. You're not going to hear about
Anita Bryant.
Anita Bryant, who was so fantastic, a Phyllis Schlafly. You will never hear about the great contributions of Marjorie Taylor Greene. You're not going to hear about any of those people. You're just going to hear about folks like Susan B. Anthony, who apparently couldn't get a man to sleep with her if she had a fistful of hundreds, folks. A fistful of Susan B. Anthony dollars would not allow that woman to sleep with a man. So you're seeing right now, if you are a liberal, if you are someone who likes to kill babies as a woman, you will be celebrated during Women's History Month. But the women who have done so much for this country, like the ones we talked about, like the Anita Bryants and the Nancy Reagans of the world, they will not be celebrated during National Women's History Month as the Democrat Party tries to get rid of the filibuster, which is such a huge part of women's history. Such a huge part.
I was thinking of that today when I was driving in the car, and the song came on. I believe it's from 1982 or so. It's by a Scottish woman named Sheena Easton.
Yes.
If I can just paraphrase the lines of the song, it's my baby takes the morning train.
Yes.
He works from 9 to 5 till then. Then he comes home and wants to fuck me. Okay, I believe that's the song. Are you familiar with that song?
Yes, that's back when America was great. That's the last vestige of it. And then we had all of the libs ruin everything because they thought that was awful. Do you think the man who took the train came home at 5 or whatever it was, and all of a sudden he got filibustered by this woman? Blah, 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 blah. My friend, blah, 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 blah. And then, blah, blah, my mother-in-law, blah, blah, blah. And it was endless. And now the Democrat Party trying to get rid of the filibuster, which is the only thing that levels the playing field, folks.
Yeah.
When you lose an election and you lose control of the Senate, all that you can do is run your mouth. What is wrong with that? What is anti-democratic about that? What is unfair about that? I ask you.
Little Rush, how do you feel about voting rights in this country? It's generally thought that the Republicans are now trying to create more barriers for people to vote, to shrink the size of the voting pool, to get a lower turnout, and they think that that's the only way they can survive. Other people say it's about assuring the integrity of the vote. I've never heard you talk much about this subject, Little Rush. Where do you come down on this?
Clearly, what I subscribe to is known as Trumpism. I call it Rushism. I was a proponent of it for many, many years. When America was great, let me ask you this, folks. Who was voting?
Well, white male landowners.
Boom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That one is straight to the bullseye. That's when America was great. Many years ago, we decided for some reason it was wrong to turn hoses and to spray people with water.
It was a bad idea. It was a bad idea to stop that, you're saying.
It's just, when did water become bad? I'm trying to figure that out. It's just hydrogen and oxygen melded together. If we could just have hoses on at the voting booth to spray certain folks away, we wouldn't need to have all of these other measures.
Little Rush, they won't even allow you now to give someone a cup of water, a bottle of water in the line waiting to vote in Georgia. And you're talking about spraying them with a hose?
You think right. You're trying to give those people that are terribly hydrated, you're trying to get a hose and get as much water to them as necessary so that they can be helped out. I don't see what the problem is. And we keep certain you don't want everyone voting, folks. You just don't want everyone.
Little Rush. Maybe that hose can be attached to the back of a bloodthirsty Rottweiler. Wow.
That's what happened when America was great. That's all I know.
I'm sorry. America was great. We didn't have all of these problems. Yes, I'm losing my ability to play straight man here, Little Rush.
Yes, you are, because it's so humorous, and what you understand is that it makes so much sense to you, and you want this America that Donald John Trump and I want, and we want it back immediately, folks. Back immediately.
Right.
Here's a woman that needs to be celebrated during Women's History Month, Laura Trump. This woman has done so much for the women's movement, and she is fantastic. And why is she not being celebrated, folks? Because she has a certain point of view.
Which one is she married to?
Eric. Eric, who is the ultra brain damaged Trump kid. You know, Ivanka is only smart by. Stop laughing, Sternly. You are losing. Have some composure. You have Ivanka, who is less brain damaged, and then Donald Trump Jr., by the way, who is shoving Colombian dummy dust up his nose as fast as he possibly can. And then I think Tiffany is next. And then we don't know what Barron's doing. But then Eric is so stupid. And then Laura pulls him up. But I'm sure that she's filibustering him every night with stupidity. So she's going to be your next senator from the great state of North Carolina. That's what's going to happen. Laura Trump running in 2022.
All right.
Women's History Month. We celebrate Laura Trump here on the EIB Network of Hell. Oh, there's my music.
Little Rush. Sadly, we're out of time. Actually, we're not out of time. I think we're out of material. I think that's the problem.
I'm having lunch with those guys who did Columbine, so that's kind of, I guess, timely in a way. So I do have to run. We're going to do that. Some more sodomizing going on here. Till next time, folks. Little Rush on the EIB Network in Hell. Salutes.
All right. Enough of that.
Has anybody adjusted to life in hell any quicker than that guy? I think he's adjusted to life in hell really well.
Yeah.
He's doing a wonderful job. There.
He was like born there and he was going home.
Yeah. It really was.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Okay. We have that ever running contest, the contest that's never decided on who's the biggest dumbass Republican. We'll leave it for the Senate right now. We won't include the 435 members of the House.
And your leader in the clubhouse was Ron Johnson last we left, right?
Right. And yesterday, I think that John Kennedy of Louisiana jumped back into the game.
Oh, no.
And we're into painful analogies on this program. And I think he really went over the line into some area that no one ever could imagine by comparing what happens after there's a mass shooting with how we approach drunk driving.
Oh, good.
Right. And it was so idiotic, all right, because, of course, because with guns, the Republican stance is absolute. If you do anything, then you're doing everything and guns will be confiscated. No one will have a gun. We'll all be unsafe and the bad guys will win. And you hate the Second Amendment. You hate the Constitution. You hate America because even universal background checks or saying that large magazines and assault weapon style guns, that's the end of the world. It's absolute. And so he makes what is a back-ass comparison to drunk driving, because if that same logic applied to drunk driving, then we would confiscate all the cars from people who don't even get into accidents, who don't drive drunk. We'd just take all the cars, right?
Right.
That's
right.
The only way to assure that there would be no drunk driving accidents. As if everyone is saying the only answer to what's going on with gun violence and murders and mass shootings is to take all the gun. Nobody's saying that. So he's making a completely false argument. And it was so blindingly stupid. And in the case of drunk driving, I think we're going now on about 35 or 40 years where that woman, Candy Leitner, whose, I think, daughter was killed in a drunk driving accident, started Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And right. As a result, after all these years, the percentage of highway deaths that are attributable to drunk driving is down significantly. The absolute number of deaths by drunk driving is down significantly, 30, 40, 50%, I think, in most cases, most years. And that's because there was never going to be an absolute solution to drunk driving. It wasn't going to be, we're going to go back to the Volstead Act and eliminate alcohol. We weren't going to try to do that. We weren't going to confiscate all the cars. We weren't going to disallow people from driving. So there was something in between there. But with guns, oh no, we can't have any kind of reasonable solution like we do have with drunk driving, which, by the way, no one is saying that all drunk driving was eliminated because of the measures that were taken. And no one is saying that all shootings, all murders, and all mass shootings will cease to exist if reasonable precautions are taken. But aside from the fact that after most of these incidents, the first thing that gets vomited, no law would have stopped that. Right, that's the first thing they always say.
Every time, yeah.
It's funny because it really looks like in this case, that's not true. This guy went and bought a gun, 6 days before he did it?
Correct.
And there was not any kind of examination, clearly, of what was going on in his life or how he was able to just go in there. His mental illness history was obvious. He shouldn't have had the gun. He should have never been able to buy a goddamn gun in this country. It should not have happened.
It's interesting that, like, the Denver Post and some of the newspapers, which, by the way, have been decimated, don't have, like the biggest crew to work on those. They can easily, in 5 minutes, find people from his high school. Yeah, I remember he punched a kid in high school and he got charged with this and that and the other. They can find that stuff in 5 seconds, and I don't quite understand why we can't have some mechanism that would also be able to go back in time and go, gee, I don't know if this guy should have a gun because he cold-cocked somebody. He's very easy to anger. And I'm not sure this is the sort of guy. I mean, there should be guidelines, obviously. You can't go, well, he got pissed off one day, put a hole in the wall, therefore he can't have a gun. But if you have legitimate stuff like being charged with violence with your fist, perhaps you should not be given something that's more powerful than a fist that can hurt more people in a shorter time. And again, that stuff can be found out very easily by the media. I don't understand why that couldn't be found out by some sort of entity that would check into backgrounds. Maybe I'm crazy, Brad. Maybe I'm nuts. No,
You are crazy because you have suggested exactly the kind of thing that is always argued against as the slippery slope and freedom and privacy and how dare you and who gets to decide this. And therefore, we have to default on the side of every fucking moron in the world with a mental history going back to the beginning of time should be allowed to buy a gun. And until their actions prove that they shouldn't have been able to buy a gun. In other words, until they've walked into a grocery store and started gunning down people, we don't want to turn into, how about every other country on the planet?
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
It's more rash. We don't want that. We can't learn from them on that. So therefore, what you said is correct, and of course, what you said is always inoperable. Because of freedom, sir, the freedom to gun down people at will. And, you know,
legitimately, that's a huge thing. What you just said was massive because there are people in this country that would tell you that what happened in Boulder and what happened in Atlanta and what happened in Columbine and what happened in so many different, I can go on and on and on about all the mass shootings in this country that have happened because they happen all the time. And the joke that I made yesterday, I'll repeat again today. We have a generation of kids that are going to wonder, hey, why are the flags all the way up? That's going to be a thing in America. There's going to be a generation of kids that are like, what's the occasion? Why are those flags all the way up? They simply, the thing that happened at Boulder when people are gunned down and what has happened in so many communities across America, they just consider that a price of freedom. We live in such a great country. We have so many freedoms. But what you pay for is the idea that you can go and get gunned down with 10 or 12 people that you've never met before at a church or a synagogue or a supermarket or a school or a playground or anywhere else. And that's just somehow that's okay to them. Somehow that's the bargain that they try to sell to people is that, yeah, that could happen. But look, if you make it past that, you've got freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble. You've got all of these great things in America. Isn't that a great bargain for you? Don't you take that bargain? And that's literally what they will try to tell you, Brad.
Well, we certainly have reached the point, and I really started to feel it in the last week here, just slightly differently than in the past.
Okay.
And this is going to be a terrible thought, and it is a terrible thought. But on the back of now 550,000 deaths, we still lose 1,000 or more people a day. Yeah. In the United States, but we're well past 500,000. And that number is way too large to understand.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid that there is in the back of the American collective right now, what's another 10? What's another 12? Hell, we lose that every 30 minutes in this country right now to coronavirus. What is the big deal? That is a terrible thought. It is a complete disregard.
No, but that's reality. What you just said is reality. I think you summed it up very well. And
if Republicans, conservatives, the NRA, the gun nuts of this country were able to hide behind these false ideas of what the Second Amendment said and what the Constitution is all about and originalism and all this shit before a year ago, before we had a pandemic that's killed more than 500,000. And I hasten to say that whatever number has been directly attributable to coronavirus and is in that number, you know, is not the real number. It's way higher than that. We know that. We know the number of people who have died of chronic diseases that were cooking along, and maybe they didn't even get the coronavirus, but it is true that the loneliness and the isolation and the lack of exercise and all the things, the shut-in factor, I'm sure it's many tens of thousands, who knows how many higher than that. But again, what's the difference, right?
Yeah.
500,000? Okay, what if it's another 100,000? Do you feel worse if it's 600,000, 700,000 by now? Nah, that's just the price we pay for inaction by the previous administration. That is just, it's criminal. It's criminal. No one is ever going to get in trouble for it. But lay that over the top of something that's been a feature of America for decades now, which are these mass murders made much easier by the kind of weaponry that is often almost every time used, which are these long guns that can just shoot quickly, right? They're not automatic, but they're semi-automatic, where as fast as you can squeeze the trigger, you can get a bullet out of them. And then the handgun versions, which, you know, they outfit them to make them look like long guns.
Exactly.
Right? So they accomplish the same thing.
Easily modified.
Easily modified. And I'm just afraid that if we were lost before on this issue, those of us who think that you do something, you don't do nothing, even if it's not a perfect solution. And in the case of this discussion, because we did have a 10-year period where assault-style weapons were banned from sale. They weren't confiscated. Nobody went door to door and taking. Right. They didn't do that. You just couldn't buy them. And the statistics were very, very favorable during that period. They didn't stop all shootings. They didn't stop all. No, it didn't go to zero. Nothing happens like that. It never goes from 100 to zero. But it was better than it is now. And
but look at the damage done to freedom during that period of time. Look at the damage that was done to freedom. It is interesting when you look at that, and there's an acceptable level and a price of freedom, and it's just this. And then as you talk about with the COVID virus, we get to this level, and you know, if you want to go out and go to a restaurant, sure, that's worth 10,000 people getting infected every day and 3,000 people a day dying. That's fine. But God forbid if some woman in Little Rock, Arkansas, finds out through a test that she's going to have a Down syndrome baby, and she decides legally to terminate that pregnancy. That we cannot have that happen. We cannot have that happen at all. It's got to go away. And it's a very difficult decision. And again, I bring up the ovary stuff because they're bringing up the ovary stuff yet again. They passed this law in Arkansas. That cannot happen. We cannot have the loss of that fetus. But, you know, 10 people dying every now and again at a supermarket in Boulder sounds pretty reasonable to me to have this great country that America is. That is the bargain that they would have you believe is reasonable, Brad. And it blows my mind.
I think you could put that under the headline of what is your actual definition of the right to life?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? Is it complete concern about a life that is not yet, or is it concern about lives that are here right now? You do have to weigh one against the other, apparently, and that's the choice. All right, you know, I think we need to talk about the new rules here that are going into effect. I mean, North Carolina is not Florida yet; it's not Texas yet, but it's getting close here. And at 5 o'clock on Friday, museums, aquariums, retail businesses, shops, barbershops, salons, personal care facilities, 100% back open. Bring it on. Restaurants, breweries, wineries, amusement parks, gyms, and pools, 75% capacity indoors, total capacity outdoors. So according to the rules that we've been living under, it's over. It's being declared done, finished, through. And we were pretty supportive on the other end of this. Are we as supportive right now that the foot is being taken off the brake and quickly moved over to the gas pedal? Are the numbers that favorable? I know they've been going down, I think, 9 or 10 days in a row, and they're below that threshold that they were talking about. So that's a good thing. We have a couple of counties. We have Randolph County and Rockingham County that have said, come on in. Everybody over 16 now can go sign up and get themselves vaccinated.
Right.
So if it's happening in those smaller counties, I would assume that the more populated counties like the one we're in, we're several days or weeks away from that. And the supply-demand issue on the vaccine is going to be solved in favor of, thank goodness, more supply than the demand. Although I do wonder if in those counties they've been able to lift it more quickly because there's more vaccine resistance there and more people who are older who did not want to take it, who didn't show up when it was their turn. So they've got all this vaccine, so they're opening it up to a lot more people in general, regardless of age. I'm just wondering, or whether it really is just they've got enough now in total, because I mean, we don't know what the numbers are. People who are saying they're never going to get it, and they don't really have a good reason. Some people do have a good reason, and I respect that. And if they're staying away from people and not mingling like idiots, so be it. They will be beneficiaries of herd immunity down the line. They're what we call free riders. They will
if they live, they will absolutely.
Right. If they don't get it, and the rest. But this is this is all in. Let's see. As of yesterday, there were 956 people were in the hospital in this state. And that's, to give you an idea, this is the number that'll help put it in perspective. Tuesday, which was yesterday as we speak, 1,062 new cases were reported, the worst day of the pandemic here. Was 11,581, or in other words, 11 times more than there were yesterday back at the beginning of January. So that is, by any measure, a 90% decrease in the number of people who are being diagnosed with new cases. I guess, again, we can't play the game of let's listen to the science, let's listen to the doctors, and then make decisions on it on the way up. And then say on the way down, oh, they have to be wrong. They're totally wrong. They're idiots. So I will go with it. It doesn't mean I'm going to go out to a restaurant now. I'm not spending any time in a restaurant. I go in and out of stores as quickly as possible. And I'm back in the gym now because I'm 15, 20 feet away from everybody. I'm vaccinated. I got a goddamn mask on and the air is blowing around. So it seems pretty safe in there to me. But I just wonder how many people are not going to think and just assume that it is literally the way it was in September of 2019 before we knew anything, and everybody's just going to hang on top of each other, and we could turn these numbers back in the wrong direction. What say you, sir?
I think you get something relatively, what you're talking about is correct, but then there's the political part of it. Roy Cooper is the governor of the state. He's been very, very reasonable, especially when you compare him to people like DeSantis and Gregory Abbott and people of that nature. But at the same time, he's had tremendous pressure on him as well to go ahead and open stuff up, and he's Stalin and all this other shit. So, yeah, I mean, there's all of that to consider. You got kids going back into the classroom as well, which is another event that people are talking about, and I've seen some interesting statistics on the kids going back in the school. You know, they say that at least the experts that I saw said that it's going to be much more important to have those HEPA filters in the classrooms to help with the circulated air. That's much more important than worrying about cleaning the surfaces. And not that you should stop cleaning the surfaces and all of that stuff, but having those HEPA filters to circulate the air is so much more important when we talk about the spread of this particular virus.
I have to tell you, I think that this obsession with wiping shit down was bullshit security theater
from
the beginning.
I agree.
And if you want to track in the free market how that's working, check out the price of the stock of Clorox, which zoomed up most of the year of 2020. And now it's headed down because everybody's realized, God damn it, I have a closet full of all of the Clorox wipes that I hoarded. What am I wiping? What the hell am I wiping? And by the way, this is one of those, a little Rush would be interested if he heard about this little argument that I'm, she wanted me to buy the wipes, buy as many wipes. And I said, fuck, we have about two or three of those canisters. They have about 100 of them in there. We never use them. We're in our house by ourselves. What are we wiping down?
And who won that argument? Who won that argument?
And I never bought any more. And we still have a couple of canisters of those that are about 20% used.
Yeah.
You know, I use them to clean the stove about once. So I won that one. And if you notice now in the stores, they're coming out of their ass. Even the wipes are coming out of their ass. There's about 8 million non-Clorox branded wipes that I'm sure are exactly the same that you can buy. So all that came back into balance. And I did lose the toilet paper argument. We bought a couple of storage sheds, and I have, last count, 6,424 rolls.
That's what the kids are going to inherit when Brad passes away. It's like, oh, yes, we got seven score.
No money, but lots of Charmin. Lots of Charmin.
Yeah. When you talk about the HEPA filters and you talk about the schools in general, and you know, it happens in every community. The public schools are very much in disrepair, and it's one of those things where you're always trying to update the construction. You're always trying to do the hallways, the lockers, and everything else, and the floors, and you know, there's ceiling problems and leakage and everything else. And every time,
I don't know how you could possibly think that a gigantic investment of tens of billions of dollars around the country to change the filtering of air in schools, and we are closer to the end than we are to the beginning of this. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it feels like it.
I feel like you're really, you know, you're remodeling your house right before you move out, and it's of no value. We're gonna have all these perfect systems in some schools, and the schools that are shit and have leaky pipes, and they're still gonna be. There's something wrong.
Well,
with chasing this that way,
we never seem to get this wrong. Right. And I hate paying taxes as much as the next guy. But every time you have a group of people, there's a bond issue, and oh my God, we're issuing another bond, and this. Well, things need to be fixed. Things need to be repaired and updated all the time. I'm sorry that happens, but that's just the way it is. I have a lot of sympathy for the folks that are in charge who are always trying to move money over here to fix this school and move money over here to fix this school. They're always chasing this, but that's part of the problem. If you ask the average Republican right now, at least politician, we have a certain amount of money. We can buy HEPA filters with it, or we can buy guns for the teachers.
don't make them make that decision. Don't you dare do that. That is so evil.
Which one would you say that they would go for? Is it going to be the HEPA filters? I've said from the beginning, anybody that thinks that arming teachers as a solution to this problem in America, you're full of shit. I'm sorry. You're absolutely nuts if you think that in any way is going to do it. But I think there are a lot of Republicans, particularly the Lauren Boberts and the Marjorie Taylor Greens, that would go, yeah, fuck it. Give them Rugers. Absolutely. But let the teachers have those Rugers.
If the solution to what just happened in Colorado earlier in the week was at all similar to what was suggested after the Parkland shootings or the Sandy Hook shootings in schools, then we would be having a discussion right now. Don't you think that all grocery store workers should be armed too? Again, here we go. Oh,
there it
wait
is.
A minute. Hold it. Maybe we need to have metal detectors before you go into a grocery. I mean, we understand
honestly
the problem that you cannot secure every public place of gathering in the country. You can't secure every retail store. You can't secure not at the level to which you would be able to stop a bad guy with a gun.
Okay? Right.
You can't do it.
But you bring up a great point.
But what do we do? In schools, right, there very often will be an officer or someone like that.
Yeah, an SRO.
Will be armed. And probably if I was the Kroger company, which owns the store out there in Colorado, I would say to the workers, and probably other stores are going to have to do it too, they're going to say, we are going to step up security.
Right.
We're not going to arm all the people. We're not going to arm all the teachers in the school, and we're not going to arm all the checkout people and the shelf stockers with guns.
But doesn't that feel like
they probably will have, you know, because of the copycat problem in America, it is an issue.
Doesn't that feel like the Lauren Boebert and the Marjorie Taylor Greene solution is that we should have a government program? I mean, because the mass shootings, they only happen in schools and supermarkets and movie theaters, churches, fairs.
In other words, everywhere.
It only happens basically automotive dealerships. I mean, so yeah, that would be the great government thing is we're going to put if Joe Biden wants to have this infrastructure project, part of that is to make sure that every teacher, every car dealer, every guy in the produce section, price chopper.
That is so fucked up that it might happen.
That's rolling in there.
You know this game they like to play. You know, you can have your wish list, but you have to include some horse shit that we're going to throw right on top of it. And
that's what they try to do.
Well, we're going to Yeah.
The last thing that I want to discuss is I don't want to let this go by, but Sidney Powell, the former woman who was associated with Trump in some way, shape, or form from Durham, North Carolina, has made her argument. She's being sued by the Dominion folks for like $1 billion in liability for defaming them. She goes to court, and did you see the argument that she has made in her defense, that her legal team has made?
Yeah, essentially, well, by the way, wait, hang on. By the way, this is the Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones defense refashioned for a crazy defense lawyer who should have been disbarred back in probably 1984 before she ever got out of law school. She shouldn't have been allowed to take the bar, but go ahead.
Her lawyers have made the argument in court that no reasonable person would believe that her false claims and conspiracy theories about the 2020 election were truly statements of fact, which she peddled everywhere as statements of fact.
But that's stop. What they after you say the words no reasonable person, that's exactly the point, because it's the non-reasonable people who did believe you.
Right.
And then acted on what you were saying and on what Trump was saying. If Trump thinks that in the court of public opinion, his defense would be no reasonable person would believe the bullshit I was peddling. Well, the quick answer to that is yes, 74 million people. Bought right. the bullshit. And so don't you dare go to court when you are leading the charge to try to get out from underneath just one little aspect of the crap you were spewing after the election, which was to attack the company that produced the machines that clearly were not compromised, had nothing to do with the count or with how the election turned out, and you ruined their business, and then you tell us no reasonable person would have believed that. You're right. I didn't believe it. You didn't believe it. The people who are part of that company did not believe it. Most of us didn't believe it, but enough people did, and their business has been damaged, and that's the basis of their lawsuit. So I think this is going to be one of those cases when if it does get to court and there's no kind of settlement, how can she settle? What's she going to settle for, $1 billion?
Let's talk them down to $200 million. If you're really good, we can negotiate down to $200 million.
So there is going to be this moment, I think, and I assume it will be in front of some judge. And every once in a while, you get one of these judges who just says, hey, stop the music, and they make about a 5-minute speech.
Yeah, they do.
Deservedly so in this case, to just gut you, to just take you down. How dare it's going to be, have you no sense of decency, woman? You are full of shit. You are wrong. I hope we have one of those moments. That is the most ridiculous gaslighting defense in reverse. You know, I'm full of shit and I say these things and I know I'm lying, and everyone is supposed to know I'm lying. But if someone, this is when your mom says, if everyone jumps off the Empire State Building, will you? Well, no reasonable person would.
Right.
But somebody did.
Do you think that's going to be helpful to the family of Officer Sicknick? I know your father, your son was killed, but it was by an unreasonable person. Do you think those people that were killed in Boulder the other day were like, you know, it's okay because that guy was an unreasonable person? Do you think this is a good argument for them to make? These are lawyers who supposedly have passed the bar.
Well, you're totally right there in that this isn't just a theoretical case.
Right.
This isn't just a talking late at night in the dorm between law students kind of case. This is words set the basis for action. And I know that another part of their defense is nobody made anybody do anything. And that's going to be Trump's defense. Even with all these people saying, well, I did it because I know he wanted me to do it. I heard his words. He is, as any good mob boss is, somebody who is measured enough to never say the exact trigger words that he thinks could be used against him in court. Little problem, though, here in that we have the most documented case of words, action, death.
Yes.
Words, action, death. Yes. Words, action, sedition. Words, action, treason. Right. Words, action, attempted overthrow of duly elected government. Words, action, interfering with the function of government, which is the definition of sedition.
Yeah, it
in
is.
The modern world. That
That's
is
correct.
And what are they? What were they in the Senate chamber? Just rearranging Ted Cruz's desk, just moving the tchotchkes around for it. Is that what they were doing when they were looking at all those papers? Was that what they were doing?
No,
apparently not. No, words, march, breaking windows, moving. You know the famous broken windows theory of crime in New York. The one that. And I just thought of this. Well, this is good. We're getting all this out. I'm not even thinking of this ahead of time. Who was the number one proponent of that as mayor of New York who rode that kind of ruling of the city to great heights, at least for a moment? It was Rudy Giuliani. Broken windows theory. If you can stop that kind of vandalism at the street level in the Bronx and in Brooklyn and on Staten Island, if you can clamp down, then you will have solved a lot of the crime problem. Well, look at this. This is like the broken windows theory in reverse.
Yeah, okay? It is. Yeah.
Nobody ever thought you had to protect the U.S. Capitol from people vandalizing it by breaking the windows. Two months ago, you could not have thought that that was humanly, it just wasn't there. It didn't exist. So the reverse broken windows theory in play, egged on by the president of the United States and then defended and lied about as part of the big lie by people like this crazy ass lawyer. And boy, you haven't heard the name Giuliani for a while, have you?
No, you haven't.
Haven't heard that for a while. What's going on there?
I don't know. I think he's in trouble.
Is he still reveling in all the Golden Globe awards that Baron Cohen won for?
It's my studied opinion that no reasonable person could not think that Rudolph Giuliani's not a drunk. There you go.
BradandBrit.com.